One thing that is clear is that God has revealed himself abundantly to this world. Romans 1, verses 19 through 20 says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." What the Apostle Paul is communicating is that in creation, God has made himself known in everything. We don't have to go far to see the glory of God in the place that we live in. We live in such a wonderful area that the first Danish Europeans who settled here called it Eureka. Okay, if you live in a place called Eureka, it's probably going to be pretty nice, because Eureka means I found it. And they looked, and they looked all across this country and found a landscape that was just right. And when Brianna and I were dating, my in-laws, Don and Barb, Don, of course, and Barb go to this church now. They lived in the great state of Wyoming. No, the great city of Wyoming, not too far from here. So when I visited her, we weren't too far from this area. And when I visited, I always loved going to Taylor's Falls. But that was the furthest I went. I didn't know what was on the other side of the river. I had never driven north on Highway 87. And the first time I drove to Eureka was Thanksgiving 2016. At that time, we were talking to this church as the interim pastor, Larry Forsberg, led a pastoral search. And we were having Thanksgiving at my in-laws. So we decided, okay, let's drive out there and see what it looks like. And first time we drove up here on 87, we overshot it. This place called Eureka Baptist, we overshot it. We missed it. And as the story goes, I started here in February 2017, and one thing that I have enjoyed over the last 8 years is getting to know this place, getting to know the intricacies of it, the wonder of it. I love the hills, the woods, the open fields, the creeks, the river, the lakes, and the wildlife. We are in the midst of the glory of God every day if we just open our eyes to see it. Everyone in Eureka is without excuse, and this goes too for all the people who live all over this beautiful world. God has made himself known in creation. But thankfully, that is not the only place that God has made himself known. He has also made himself known in Scripture. Without Scripture, we would have no idea how to enter into a relationship with God. As Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" The only way people come to know the living God who created the world and governs the world is through God's special revelation, where we understand clearly that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. Sometimes this message comes from someone communicating what the Scripture says, and other times it comes from someone reading the Bible for oneself. No one can know the true God of the universe without God's special revelation to the world. In this special revelation, the 66 books of the Bible, we see the glory of God. And as we see the glory of God, we have the opportunity to reflect this great God. But as the Bible teaches, all of humanity are sinners. And what do sinners do? Sinners love, in their pride, to create their own religion, their own system of morality, their own way to God. As they do this, they reject the true religion and pridefully embrace false religion. Sinners never start the race and therefore never enter maturity. They pursue God only at a skin-deep level and miss out on the glory of God. And as we have gone through the book of Hebrews, this is what the author of Hebrews has been concerned about. He is addressing sinners who have only pursued religion superficially, and he is frustrated that they refuse to move on to maturity. This morning, as we continue our sermon series through Hebrews, we will see this in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. So at this time, I encourage you to turn there with me in a Bible. And as always, if you don't have a Bible, we do have those red Bibles. This sermon is titled, The Danger of Shallow Religion. And we're going to begin by reading the text, Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Here's our big idea. What this text, this sermon, is calling each of us to do: realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface. Misplaced religion never gets past the surface. We're going to see three marks how. And the first is this: through hearing but not letting the word penetrate to the heart. Hearing but not letting the word penetrate to the heart. And this is focused on in verse 11, where once again he writes, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become hard of hearing. You have become dull of hearing. What the author of Hebrews is doing with the words about this is he is pointing us back to what we have already seen. Whenever we hear the words this, these things, therefore, or about this, we need to look back to the previous focus of the author. 1 week ago, we saw the author of Hebrews explain a glorious truth from the Old Testament scripture. What we saw is the author compare the relationship between the Old Testament Levitical priesthood and this mystery man known as Melchizedek. Melchizedek and his story only show up in one place in scripture. What we saw 1 week ago is that there is more to say about Melchizedek because the author talks more about him in Hebrews 6 and 7, but the overview we saw 1 week ago is that Melchizedek represents a superior priesthood to the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. And specifically, it focuses on the high priesthood. This is why King David writes concerning the Messiah in Psalm 110, verse 4, that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is something significant about this Old Testament figure, Melchizedek, from Genesis 14. He is the king of Salem, and he is a priest superior to the temporary priesthood of the Levitical priests. Melchizedek is what is called an Old Testament type. He is a picture that points ahead to the Messiah. His priesthood, his high priesthood, points ahead to the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. This is a rich biblical truth that the author of Hebrews shared with his audience. Remember, this letter of Hebrews is a sermon written out. So we have to keep that in mind as we're reading, as we're going through the book of Hebrews. This is a sermon that we're going through. In this sermon, the author of Hebrews just explained this nugget of scripture that shows the glory of Christ. With this background, we understand what the author of Hebrews is saying in verse 11 of our text. In verse 11, again, he writes, about this we have much to say. As I mentioned, he is going to explain more about the connection between Melchizedek and Christ. But what he is doing here is he's expressing frustration with his audience. This is a pastor preaching to his congregation. He's expressing frustration. One thing I have said over and over again is that this is a Jewish audience. The whole point of the book of Hebrews is that he is pleading with his audience to embrace true religion over false religion. The book of Hebrews is very much, it's an exposition. It's an explanation of the Old Testament, specifically the Old Testament priesthood, and how this fits with Christ. But he's also pleading with them, wanting them to finish their lives in heaven and not in hell. To reject the religion of the Pharisees, which is what he was going after in this book, and to embrace the true religion of the prophets, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the apostles. This is what he's calling them to do, and this is his frustration. He is telling them at this point, you should be digging in to the depths of Scripture and letting it penetrate to your heart. The author of Hebrews is telling his audience that their lack of understanding is a heart issue, not an issue of intelligence. And that's what we need to understand. Like when a creationist debates an atheist, it's ultimately not an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. Romans 1 says that. They suppress the truth that is right before their eyes. I mean, we can debate them. That's fine. You can show how foolish their thinking is through intellect. But ultimately, it's a heart issue that you're dealing with. So the author here is just telling his audience that their lack of understanding is a heart issue. As he writes again at the end of verse 11, it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. When the Lord commissioned the prophet Isaiah, this is what he said to him in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. I read this in the call to worship. Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. The prophet Isaiah went to a people that, largely speaking, would not hear his message. There was a remnant in Israel that would hear his message. But largely speaking, they would hear him with their ears, but it would not reach to the heart. It's not far from your head to your heart. It's only a handful of inches. I don't know the exact amount. Maybe someone here knows. It's not very far from your head to your heart. But there can be a rock-solid presence between the head and the heart where the truth does not penetrate from the head to the heart. We can hear the message of God's word, but the question is, does it penetrate the heart? The people of Israel that Isaiah addressed, and many in the author of Hebrews' audience, could be described in this way. They were the first seed and first soil that Jesus described in the parable of the sower. When Jesus explained the meaning of the parable of the sower, this is what he said concerning the first seed and the first soil in Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. It's like ping. What is heard does not penetrate the heart. This is where we need soft hearts to receive the message. The people of Israel did not have soft hearts. Many in this audience that the author of Hebrews is addressing did not also. And this is very common in our day. In our day, coming to church for some people is the most boring thing that one can do. People believe this. They are entertained by many shallow things, but the glory of Christ does not excite their hearts. They have hard hearts, and sadly many shallow churches feed this culture by making church entertainment, and what they are doing is creating a shallow religious experience to keep hard hearts coming. It's the law of diminishing return. You have to keep doing what you're doing, keep entertaining to keep people in the seats. And so that's what they do. They keep entertaining. So many won't even try church. Others will come, but the true word pings right off, and others will leave a solid church and go to one where church leaders entertain their shallow hearts. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Think about that. They'll find someone. Okay, I don't want to hear this kind of preaching. I like what this guy says. He makes me feel good. So then they'll go to that person. America is full of hard-heartedness. Remember what I quoted a few weeks back. Soft preaching leads to hard hearts, while hard preaching leads to soft hearts. Many people don't want the full truth of the Bible, and when they hear it, they hear but do not hear, and see but do not see, as the prophet Isaiah said of the people of Israel in his day. People become dull of hearing, and they miss out on the glory of the text and the transformation that is supposed to happen as a result of understanding glorious truth in the Scriptures. So realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface. And the first mark how is by hearing, but not letting the word penetrate to the heart. The second mark how you are to realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface is this: by continuing to need to hear the basics over and over again. Let's see this in verses 12 and 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. The author here uses a food analogy of milk and solid food. There are many parents and grandparents in this room who remember what it is like having a baby, and a few of you are going through this right now. We can't feed babies a steak dinner. They need milk, and they need milk for a long time before their bodies can handle solid food. So you start them off slow until their bodies reach maturity. This is applied to where one is at spiritually. Does a Christian need milk or solid food? Those who are mature in the faith can handle more than those who are not as far along. One of my professors in seminary once said that explaining the relationship between Melchizedek and Christ is something that every pastor should know in order to be ordained. Without any helps, a pastor should be able to explain this clearly and succinctly. But many pastors aren't able to explain this because they have never gone past a surface-level understanding of Scripture. These are pastors who I mentioned in the first point who love to tell stories but never plunge into the depths of the Scriptures. Not only should pastors know the relationship between Melchizedek and Christ, but so should every mature Christian. I want Eureka Baptist to be a place where we know our Bibles, not just at a superficial level, but truly know it. That we are a church full of mature Christians who don't just know the Bible, but are transformed to the heart by what we learn from its pages. A biblically illiterate Christian is going to be one who is not equipped to go through the life of faith triumphantly. And that's what we want, triumphant Christians. We need to know the word to be greatly used by God. What the author of Hebrews is saying is that when you become knowledgeable in the Scriptures, you become teachers. Now, very few are called to be teachers of the Word of God. Those who are called to be teachers are pastors and elders. These are those shepherds specially trained to preach and teach the Word of God. But as you mature in the faith, you are to be able to explain the Scriptures. Every father should be able to teach their children the basics of the Bible. Every mother should be able to teach your children the basics of the Bible. You should be able to know enough of the Bible, know it well enough, where you can answer questions from someone who's trying to figure things out, someone who is interested in the Christian faith. You should be able to explain the basic principles of the oracles of God, as the author of Hebrews writes. The basic principles are the basics of the faith. You should be able to understand generally what the Bible teaches, and to some level, its intricacies. When you teach your children the Bible, you're not going to be able to go real deep because a child's brain is at a place where this young one can only handle so much. So you got to keep it simple and over time teach them the deeper truths of Scripture. This is so with any young believer, no matter one's age. That person is to grow in understanding over time. But every mature Christian has the basics down and strives to live each day by these sacred truths. But the author of Hebrews' frustration is that with many in his congregation, he was having to start over and explain the basics. I remember there was a guy who I used to meet with back at my old church where it always felt like I was starting over whenever I met with him. Like we were never able to move on. We were always starting over, and that can be frustrating for someone who's discipling. We need to have patience, yes, but if you spend 2 years with a guy and you're still going back to the basics, it's okay. Maybe I should spend my time somewhere else. there can be a legitimate frustration there. In context here, the basics the author is talking about is a proper understanding of the Old Testament. We have to consider his audience here, and how everything in the Old Testament points ahead to the Messiah, and the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, because remember, they lived decades after Jesus was on the earth and his apostles were preaching. They lived in the midst of the apostles while some of them were still alive. And they had been taught the teachings of the apostles in Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4. It's explained right there in those verses. So they had been taught these things. But he has this growing frustration that I'm having to go back to the basics. And I'm going to explain more next Sunday as we look at the beginning of chapter 6 more about this. But the application I just gave does generally fit. The Apostle Peter uses the milk illustration in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 2, where he writes, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." Peter is describing the process of sanctification, this process of growing in holiness, becoming more like Christ over time. Once you are saved, you long for milk, and then you go past that by intaking solid food that leads you to maturity. But with Peter and the author of Hebrews, the focus is, in fact, different. And this is important for us to understand as we look at this. While Peter is saying that believers start with milk, while the author of Hebrews is communicating that those in his congregation who are on milk are, in fact, unbelievers. They have a misplaced religion that never gets past the surface. They are up to their eyeballs in the religion of the Pharisees, that is, man's religion, and they have not received the true teaching of Scripture. The religion of the Pharisees, which developed in between the period of the Old Testament and the period when the New Testament was written, was built on pride. It was doing religion man's own way and rejecting God's way. And this is why the author of Hebrews is saying in verse 12 that you are having to be taught again and again the basic principles of the oracles of God. They need to hear again to be fed milk, because they don't even get the basics of what the Old Testament taught and the basic teachings of the Christian faith that came from the foundational teaching of the Old Testament. If they understood the basics of the Christian faith, then they could plunge into the depths of the Scriptures. But many, sadly, in his congregation are not in this place. He again gives this rebuke in verse 13. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child." He is a child because he doesn't understand and doesn't want to understand the basic truth of Scripture. When I was working security, back when I was in seminary, I remember having a conversation with an older lady who loved Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is an obvious false teacher who preaches the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, which is basically, if you follow Jesus, everything's going to go amazing for you. You're never going to face any trials. It's going to be a great life. And with this teaching, the goal in life is material blessing, and they neglect to mention that the Lord puts us through seasons of suffering for our good. What I told this lady is that the basic truth of the Word of God needs to be spoken, and more than this as well, as has been explained here. But the foundation of understanding the Bible is understanding the basics. And she basically said, "We've already heard that, and we don't need to hear it again because this man is telling us what we want to hear," or what she thought we need to hear, which they don't need to hear, not at all. She didn't want to hear the basic truths of Scripture, but just wanted her ears to be tickled, as 2 Timothy 4:3 warns. As I've already mentioned, that certain teachers would come and gladly tickle people's ears. This lady I spoke with needed to hear again and again the basic principles of the oracles of God because she had neglected to embrace it. She had become hard of hearing. her heart was hard. And there are two different types of people in this group that I alluded to in the first point. There are those who will hear it again and again, but it never penetrates the heart. These are those in a solid church who, even though the solid food is right there before them, will not eat, and they never move an inch. And then there are those who don't want to hear it, and they'll go after the teaching they want from shallow teachers. And then there's another group that'll just find their own religion altogether. And I think the previous one really is its own religion. It's not really true Christianity. All these groups are hard-hearted. They become dull of hearing, as the author of Hebrews says in verse 11. The focus of the word, as verse 13 says, is righteousness. This is what the word produces, righteousness. The word of God shows us how we become righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When we believe in Christ, we are counted with the righteousness of Christ. And once you are saved with the Spirit's help, you grow in holiness, and one day when you enter the presence of God, you will be 100% holy. A true understanding of the Word of God leads to this, but the experience of the author of Hebrews is that many in his audience were missing this. They were having to be taught again the basics, starting all over again. They were having to be taught milk, not solid food, and this happens all the time in our day. May no one at Eureka Baptist be in this number. May we be the mature who embrace the true, sweet religion that has been delivered to us and have an aversion to superficial religion which abounds in America today. May we have soft hearts to the basics of the Christian faith, which are hard truths. It's a hard truth to actually believe I deserve hell for my sins. We need to embrace that and say, yes, this is true. We need to have soft hearts to the basics of the Christian faith and all the treasures revealed in Scripture. So realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface. And the second mark how is by continuing to need to hear the basics over and over again. And here's the third and final mark how we are to realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface, and it's this: by displaying an inability to distinguish the good from the bad. An inability to distinguish the good from the bad. Let's see this in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, first off, the maturity described here is referring to a believer, not one who is far along in the faith, but one who is simply saved. Okay, that's a very clear interpretation I want to make very clear here. Mature here is saved. The one who needs milk is unsaved. One mark of an unbeliever is that that person is unable to discern between good and evil. Discernment is the ability to be able to tell the difference between truth and error, right and wrong, good and bad, beautiful and ugly. Believers are able to do this because the Holy Spirit has been given to you, and you are able to discern with your mind these things. And this is something that, as you grow in maturity, your ability to discern can grow. All true believers have the ability to discern. But as you grow in knowledge and holiness, the ability to discern the good from the bad will also grow. This is why pastors of all people should have excellent discernment. Like, if we're looking for a new elder, we want this new elder to have discernment, strong discernment. I believe that Titus 1:9 is one of the most important verses in our day. It is the responsibility of pastors and elders not only to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God, but he is also to rebuke those who contradict sound doctrine. This is fundamental to a shepherd. But sadly, it seems that many shepherds do not do their job. They are not warning the flock about the dangers that are out there. I'm amazed at pastors who cannot celebrate that we have a president right now who has common sense, who in many ways has pushed forth God's law, and somehow view him as one of the greatest evils out there. This is happening in evangelical pulpits all over America. It's happening on social media accounts all over the place. I have one guy I see all the time. Criticism, criticism, criticism of our president. Not one positive statement. And I truly believe this guy thinks he's the greatest evil that there is in a country. This is an evangelical pastor. You have to understand, let me give you an example of something wonderful that President Trump did that we should all rejoice. When President Trump took office officially after the inauguration, you know one of the first things he did? There were pro-life activists who were jailed for protesting abortion. He released them. Some of them were in jail. Some of them were threatened to be put in jail. There was over 20 of them. All of them are free. And as Christians, we can't see that we have a president who wants to protect Christians. And in his first term, Christians who were persecuted all over the world, he was fighting to get these people released so they could come back to America safely. Instead, it's negative, 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 negative. And I'm thinking, what are you doing being a pastor if you can't see this? God has always used unorthodox, unconventional people to accomplish good things in world leaders. He's always done this. And why can't we see that right now? It takes discernment to see this. It doesn't take a lot of discernment, frankly, but it takes discernment. And if a pastor of all people can't see this, this is a big problem. It doesn't mean we say everything he does is right, because certainly not everything he does is right. For example, his faith office, he has Paula White. That's not good. We should critique him. She's a prosperity teacher, okay? Not good. But we can also rejoice at the same time. We need to have a balanced look at this and say, thank you, Lord, for the many good things he is doing. And it's not, we're not going to have everything right on planet Earth until Christ comes back and reigns on the throne. Then everything will be right. But can we at least rejoice the many good things he is doing? And I say, yes, we can. And it's not just pastors who should have discernment, but this is a mark of every mature Christian, that this person has discernment. As the author of Hebrews says again in verse 14, that those who have discernment are trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We at Eureka Baptist want to have a discerning church where we can recognize truth from error, right from wrong, good from bad, and what is beautiful from what is ugly. And this goes from what TV shows to watch, to what music to listen to what books to read, to what pastors to listen to. We need discernment, and we need to grow in discernment over time. While the immature Christian needs to grow in this discernment, the unbeliever, even if they profess Christ, is missing this Holy Spirit-empowered discernment. Those who are on milk, which again is the unbeliever here, those who need to be taught again and again the basic oracles of God don't have this. The Apostle Paul describes what a healthy Christian and a healthy church looks like in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And this is what we want at Eureka Baptist. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is what the church is supposed to be all about. It's built on the truth of the Word of God, and we are united on the truth of the Word of God, and we are united in love. That's what God wants us to be all about. Mature believers grow in knowledge and grow in faith. Well, those who only have a desire for superficial religion, that person, as Ephesians 4 says, is tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I've seen so many people like this. Every new teaching that comes out, they are taken by it. They're always looking for something new. and they're not anchored on sound doctrine. People should find us 20 years from now and say, you haven't changed? No. I believe the same thing I believed 20 years ago. I believe the Word of God. I don't change because the Bible doesn't change, right? We should be boring in that sense. It's good to be boring in that sense. The people with whom the author of Hebrews is concerned are very interested in what man says on the things of religion, but they are resistant to what God says in His Word. When someone brings a teaching that is foreign to the teaching of the Bible, one who pursues religion from a place of pride is drawn to that. They don't have the discernment of the Spirit, so they go their own way. But the believer is different, especially the mature believer, that we should all strive to be who honors God with one's life by being able to discern what is good from that which is evil and then lives accordingly based on that. So as we summarize here, realize that misplaced religion never gets past the surface. And in this text, we've seen three marks how. The first is through hearing but not letting the word penetrate to the heart. Secondly, through continuing to need to hear the basics over and over again. Third, through displaying an inability to distinguish the good from the bad. What we have seen this morning is the tragedy of superficial religion. To never let the truth of Scripture penetrate to one's heart is deadly for the one who goes down this path. But we are called to life, to pursue the path of life, to not be thrown to and fro by the teaching of sinful humans, but to receive what the Lord says by faith, to know the basics and to go beyond the basics, to know what the Word says and be transformed by it. Now, next Sunday, we are going to see the evidence that the author of Hebrews is going after the false religion of Judaism that had been developed before the time of Christ, but was holding many in bondage all the way to this time when the book of Hebrews was written. So next Sunday, it gets really intense here as we get into chapter 6, where he is laying out, this is where you are wrong, and he lays it out systematically. Okay, so we're going to look at that next Sunday, but this time, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time we've had to sit under the preaching of the Word, Lord. And as I preach this, I too am sitting under the preaching of the Word. I'm just the instrument of the communication of this, but we are taking in what the Word of God says. And just like every Sunday, Lord, we want to be transformed by what it says. I pray that as a result of being here today, as a result of listening, that everyone who has heard will grow as a result of hearing this message to your glory. And I ask this, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we close today, as always, if you have any questions, comments, you can always prayer requests. Please reach out to us. I know Keith isn't here today. He's coming back today. But Doug and Alan are here. And so...